you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 20th, 2020. Let's see. 012020.
Oh my. Say it again.
012020.
That's true.
Yes.
That's clever.
So there you have it. That's the day for everyone to remember for this broadcast, this Memorization Monday.
Yeah.
One of our favorite days of the week as we share scripture and have somebody, a special guest in the studio with us. And I must say beforehand, because this might give some insight into our relationship, Steve, which is built on many small group sessions together, a friendship through the radio ministry as you help partner with us, I don't know, 5 years ago?
It's been a little while.
Six or seven, 8 or 10 years ago. Yeah, I guess it's been a while when we did a couple big events at the Virginia Theater, and one of your roles was working with area businesses, raising awareness about our ministry, fundraising and helping, and I don't know, we've crossed paths on many things. We attend a small group many times on Thursdays together.
Right, right.
The Pinnacle larger groups and some other things that we've done together. But what I wanted to point out to our listeners that I'm still thinking and laughing at, we have good senses of humor, I believe.
Yeah.
But as we were praying up, and Steve hasn't been here, I guess, for at least 2 or 3 years. It's been a long time since we interviewed you. But we have a practice of always praying, as you know, Marianne. And generally, Marianne and I have to explain to the guest how it's all going to work, because it just happens so many times where Marianne prays and then there's this long silence and maybe we didn't communicate clearly for whatever reason. And
that can't
the person didn't pray. Or we don't know why. But anyways, we didn't say much to Steve other than Marianne will pray, Steve will pray, and then I'll pray. And then he said, yeah, well, the law of average are one of our prayers will make it up to God. We all start laughing.
Somebody got to get lucky.
Yeah, if all three of us pray, maybe God will hear one of us. So thank you that God has a sense of humor, that he does hear prayer and responds, and that he commands us. I mean, he wants to hear our words, our petitions, our intercessions for loved ones and friends and neighbors. So anyways, great to have you, Steve.
And we have to say Steve's last name, please. We are getting known for just jumping in with people and talking and getting going.
Oh, that's Steve.
Steve Carmichael.
There you go.
And we were trying to figure out what your title was on the business card some years back. It was more than media representative or fundraiser.
Development or...
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
project.
Enough people
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah, there was project development or something project. In there and...
I know about titles that shift around.
Yeah, that's right.
And he called me lots of things during that time.
Yes.
Like,
well,
where are you?
Yeah,
is this done?
That's right. It's been a while, but Steve said he's never seen so many emails from one person in his life, because I do have a tendency of following up and following up the follow-up, and I'm pretty driven in making sure things are communicated and then responding to, as you know, Marianne, recently, I think, within the last week, I sent out something to all the staff. These are some communication practices I want you all to be aware of, because when I send out an email, not only do I expect you to read it, I send it out because it has something that I want you to know, but you need to respond so I know you've read it. No, anyway. So.
It was actually a nicer sounding email than you're making it sound.
Yeah,
it was a reset, start of the year, new vision, happy. It was a good email.
Are you going to talk about the 3 emails you sent me about today's event, about me being here?
And oh, that's right.
I hadn't yet responded.
You had.
There's 1, 2, 3. I was like, oh, I better get on this.
That's right.
You brought Steve in here to talk about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Therapy for that, Mark.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that.
Well, this 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we're going to be sharing today is somewhat therapeutic, as much of God's word is. It brings healing, hope. It brings correction. It brings spiritual thought, food for the soul.
Conviction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good, healthy conviction. And so Marianne will be doing a reading about that. And then we're going to get a little update on some of the things that God's been doing in Steve's life, which includes his wife, Lori, and a business that you have, along with some of your thoughts on this great verse and maybe
six
an update.
Boys.
Yeah, six children that, well, six grown boys now.
Yeah, six
young men. 1 Corinthians 10:13, a great verse. I think it has many points of application for our life, but it states, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it."
Okay, here is what Robert J. Morgan has to say about that verse. As I pored over this passage, I was surprised to discover that while it's a great verse for every Christian in the world, it's particularly addressed to veteran Christians who have been on the road a while. At the end of the previous chapter, Paul admitted, "I discipline my body and bring it under strict control, so that after preaching to others, I myself should not be disqualified." In chapter 10, he brought up the subject of the Israelites, who, having started toward the Promised Land with soaring aspirations, messed up en route. They passed through the Red Sea, feasted on manna, and drank water from the rock, but they were detoured by their own failings and faithlessness. Now these things were written as a warning to us, on whom the end of the ages have come, said Paul. Therefore, whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common. 1 Corinthians 10:11 through 13. Paul, a veteran missionary, struggled to remain disciplined in his life. The Israelites, having experienced the most unique set of miracles in the Old Testament, stumbled. However mature our Christian experience, we're not beyond the danger of those temptations common to everyone. But God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear, but will provide a way of escape.
Can I get an amen for those
of you
tuned
in? Yeah, you got one for me.
Amen.
Amen.
The Greek term for a way of escape was the word used for a passageway out of a canyon. Sometimes people wandered into ravines and couldn't see any pathway out. They thought they were trapped, but if they looked hard enough, there was a goat path somewhere, a way out. Our best escape route is intentionally staying close to Christ on a daily and hourly basis. Having successfully resisted temptation himself, he knows the way out of the canyon.
Hmm.
And here's an example of something. When athletes are arrested during brawls at places like strip clubs and dogfights, we say, how stupid. Why would they risk their millions of fans and multi-million dollar contracts by deliberately putting themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time? Yet we do the same thing when we go anywhere that exposes our hearts to needless temptation. It could be an entertainment venue, a girlfriend's apartment, a computer screen, a night spot, some sort of catalog, or even a shopping mall. It's like the man who told his doctor that he'd broken his arm in two places. The doctor said, well, stop going to those two places.
Oh, jeez. I would expect that from Steve here.
Stop going to those two places.
That's pithy.
Yeah. And here's a quote by Wilbur Chapman, who was an evangelist. Temptation is the tempter looking through the keyhole into the room where you're living. Hmm. Sin is your drawing back the bolt and making it possible for him to enter.
Well, as we were reading this and they mentioned veteran Christian, I was thinking of you, Steve, because you've walked with the Lord for many years and we've been in small groups together. It's coming on like 7 or 10 years, or a lot of years.
I'm beginning to understand why you have me here. As you were talking about veteran Christians and you've got this heavy verse that deals with temptation and sinning, so you bring in the chief of sinners to have this master class discussion.
No, I appreciate your walk with the Lord. We've been through a lot together, like I mentioned, with our small group. Now that's meeting every Thursday, but we are meeting once or twice a month and sometimes three or four times a month. But you and I go way back. And as I shared last Thursday during our small group, I said, hey, do any of you guys have a heart for 1 Corinthians 10:13? And they're all like, oh, it's a pretty good verse, or yeah. And then they all looked at Steve and said, Steve, why don't you take it? And you're like, well, let me look at my schedule. I could come in and share some things. So what about this verse is of interest to you?
Well, I think there's a lot of verses in the Bible, right, that we would call meaty. And there's a lot to unpack here in this verse. It's no different. And it's a powerful verse. That's what struck me just kind of reading through it the first time there. And it really says to me, you know, we don't have any excuse, really, for sinning. Because, you know, sin doesn't just usually just happen. There's steps that lead up to that. You
that's
know,
true.
The keyhole, you know, or that temptation. Or a man looking at a pretty girl, you know, that's fine. And that's not even really a temptation. But then that temptation can come. And then it's that next thought. It's that next step. And so, you know, there's always there's always opportunity, really, for God to intervene, for the Holy Spirit to put a check in our spirit that this is, you know, I'm going down a path that this is what's going to lead to. And so I think as we do become more veteran, if you will, as a veteran Christian, we learn to have, I think, more of a filter as we see things, as we hear things, and, you know, recognize right away that this is Satan. You know, this is Satan at work. You know, I've always believed, and I know this is a great place to get corrected if it's not scriptural.
yeah, we'll jump all over you, man.
Yeah, so
I'm really listening. It's really, what you're saying is very valuable.
One, I'm thinking, too, that proverb about, proverb or psalm, where the walking, the standing, then sitting, and it's a progression, and many times temptation. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
It's you're dabbling in it, you're entertaining the idea, you're sort of kind of standing with it, then suddenly you're seated with it, and then it becomes
great sin.
You
kind of start dating that thought.
Yeah, right, right.
Taking it out.
Yeah, right, right, exactly.
Take it for a drive.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, getting back to the, I think it's scripturally sound. Maybe there's some things you could point out that would change my mind on it. But when it comes to things like how we trust God for certain things, and we have His Word, we have this truth, and we know He's way more powerful than Satan. Mm-hmm. But I think Satan, you know, he has this limited power, and I've never felt like Satan had the ability, like Christ does, to look into our heart, you know, and
I
pierce
agree with
it.
That.
Okay, so what does he do? He watches us to see what we watch, and he watches to see what we do and how we interact with people. He's probably a good body reader in terms of how our eyes, you know, light up, or what gets our attention. And so then I think he uses those as weapons against us.
I so agree
with
that.
You know, because he sees what, oh, I see what Steve looks at, or what he's saying to that person, or how he talks to that person. And
what's up, where he's that prowling lion, you know,
right,
looking to see who he can destroy.
Right.
So he sees where we're vulnerable or our weaknesses.
I so agree with you, Steve, because so many people tend to talk, I don't know if they really mean it, but they talk like God and Satan are somewhere up here equal, and Satan has as much power as Jesus. He's so strong. No. Jesus is the powerful one. God is the powerful one. Satan can't read your thoughts. He's not inside. He's not this all-powerful anything.
Yeah.
He's just what you said. He's just observing, and, oh, I think they got a weakness. I'm going there. I'm going to get him there.
Yeah. And God has clearly limited what he can and can't do, and oftentimes uses whatever mess Satan is making in someone's life and redeems it and brings either clarity or hope or healing, or uses that mistake or that sin somebody has made to help somebody else. So God can always transform even those pitfalls, those shortcomings in us.
Yeah. This verse doesn't really give us any excuse for sinning, because he says he'll provide a way out.
Yeah.
And he says he won't give us more than we can bear. And, you know, I realized a long time ago that's like, we really don't know how much we can bear, but he does. And that's why many times it can feel like, really, Lord, I can't bear this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's where those scriptures of God's strength, I need God's strength.
Yeah. So we know that his promises are all true, or none of them work very well. And so I like this. I mean, I'm not sure. This is what I wrote down, was probably from the NIV. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And then it just sort of this insert or a but. And God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we just always have to be reminded of that. God's faithful. His promise is true. You're going to be tempted, and you're going to be tempted with everything I was tempted with.
Yeah.
And so how do you choose to respond to that? Mm-hmm. And if we choose to respond to dating this temptation, well, you might get married to it. And we have the tools to prevent that from happening. So it just it doesn't make any common sense at all, really, that we sin, because we don't have an excuse, and yet we're fallen. We have this fallen nature.
Right.
You know, one part of this that really speaks to me personally is that when it says no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to people. And so often when we get in a temptation situation, it does not feel common to anyone. It's like nobody's ever felt this kind of care from a man or
I'm
a woman.
The only
nobody's
one.
Ever
You don't know what it's
that's right.
Like.
You don't know what I've been, you know, and I read this and I go, no, don't go there. This is common. This is common. You're not out here being real special about this. This is common.
And this hasn't just happened to you, and you're so unique in this temptation. Many people have conquered it, haven't fallen in it.
Yeah. Or it's just common. It's not special. You need to get rid of it. You need to speak the power of God over this whole thing.
Yeah, and I think maybe one other key thought I had about this is that the verse is absolutely speaking of sins of commission. But there's also that sin of omission, where we're being called to do something, and we're sinning by not answering that call. Mm-hmm. You know, we're called to love people, and we can omit that daily.
That's powerful, Steve.
Because it's easy. And so,
you're starting to meddle in a lot of our lives.
Yeah, you're getting in our way.
Uh-oh.
That's powerful. That's true. That's the hardest kind to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, where you didn't give love. You were tempted not to because you had this little edge toward this person. You didn't treat them quite the same.
Yeah.
Or when you obviously saw a need and you just dismissed it, or, I'm too busy, like the Pharisee on his way to the temple.
Right.
The very spiritual.
Heading out to the temple.
Yep. Don't have time for you on the side of the road, even though you're bleeding and hurting and in obvious need. I got more spiritual things to do.
Yeah,
you've got the person sitting at the stoplight or stop sign that's looking for money, looking for handouts, the homeless person there on the front of the storefront. And, you know, I have a friend out in the California area and visit him occasionally. And, you know, everybody's got a different attitude about, do you give them money?
Because
you don't know where they're going to spend it. Are they going to put it to drugs and alcohol? Or are they going to put it to food? You know, some people just walk by.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might walk by and say a prayer for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might give a little bit of money, even though they could give more. But my friend, no matter what the situation looks like, always gives at least a $20 bill.
Does
and
he
just says, I don't have to worry then at all. I mean, he cares, but he says, I don't have to care about what they do with that money. I've given them something substantial enough that they can go eat and have a good meal and have some money left over, and then I just don't have to judge or worry about it.
I wondered one afternoon where my daughter was. She was out buying McDonald's and everything else for some homeless person. She's like, are we supposed to give money? I don't know. I'm just going to buy them food and buy things for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's hard to know the answers to all this, but I respect your friend.
Yeah, yeah. It opened me up to be really less judgmental.
That's interesting.
And to love and to realize that person's situation. They really, for the most part, they're not there by choice. Maybe by a lot of choices they made in the past, but, you know, probably the best thing we can give them is some spiritual love, some spiritual food, maybe do both so that they have something more eternal that they won't be hungry on tomorrow, that spiritual food, you know.
Yeah, I know some that have said that they don't want to give the money, and so then they don't do anything. But I've had other friends that say, when I see that situation, I take them to lunch. I take them with me.
Mm-hmm.
That way they know they're going to eat and they're cared for. And then there's at least a little bit of a relationship. But oftentimes so many of us are so busy we can't do that.
Right.
But I thought that might be the ideal. I mean, again, what would Jesus do? Jesus would probably say, hey, let me get some food. Let's sit down and talk. How you doing?
We can at least be caring.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, certainly saying prayers.
It's easy to be dismissive and say, what are you doing out there?
Yeah,
why are you being like
all
that?
All running around or looking at our phones.
Yeah,
and
sure. Well, it's interesting, though, back to the scripture where he says they thought they were trapped. That's how it feels when you're in the throes of a heavy temptation.
Yeah.
And it says, if they looked hard enough, there was a goat path somewhere, some little teeny way.
Oh, when they're in this canyon area.
Yeah, some little teeny way out. It's not, doesn't have to be a big way. We're always looking for the temptation to, like, evaporate, you know?
Yeah, and the goat path makes me think of very narrow, somewhat difficult to
little way out.
Traverse, but doable.
Yeah.
And it is a way out. And, you know, I think when we're in the process of befalling to temptation, the closer we get to the foul line, if you will, the more we get away from this promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no,
you don't have to fall into that. You can stop right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's always that heavy fight between the old man and the new man, the old woman and the new woman.
And as it closes this verse, he will also provide a way out. I think, like what you're saying, Steve, our focus becomes on the sin, on the temptation, and we're not really looking for a way out. Most of the time, we're like, oh, I'm just going to give in to the sin. We're not captively looking
around. It's happened
before,
you know, oh, well.
Yeah, we
can be very flippant about it. You know, I think when it comes, you know, we have this health and wellness business, and so I like Zig Ziglar, who talks about long time ago. You know, he was, for those that don't know Zig Ziglar, you know, he's,
I've listened
he's
to
like
him.
Old school Tony Robbins. Or
He's pretty inspiring.
Motivational
he's very
speaker.
Inspiring. He's got a nice, you know, Texas kind of accent.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I remember him saying when it came to food, he says, you know, he says, I never put a bite of food in my mouth by accident. It's a big struggle, especially this time of year. Everybody's got their resolutions going, you know, weight loss, weight gain, whatever it is. And so many of the things that we do, we have a choice, but it seems like we will oftentimes default to just whatever the easiest path is. You know, we'll be like water, you know, just follow the path of least resistance. And yet for Christians, and we're armored up with at least some of God's word, and I appreciate you guys and your efforts to encourage memorization, because that's, I think, how the Holy Spirit brings about that thought at the right moment of a verse or something. Right, right.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'm thinking, Steve, we're going to have you and Lori back. We didn't get to do many shout-outs for her, but you're a special couple that God's using in unique ways. I know you're writing some books, and you have some special ministry together as a team. So you tell Lori that we're going to have both of you back in the coming days. And
she would enjoy doing that. And, yes, she's not just the rock in our marriage, but, you know, when it comes to, like, personalities, you know, there's, you know, lots of ways that you can figure out personalities, you know, some like animals, you know, like you know, golden retriever, otter, lion.
What's
well, Lori's lion.
Okay.
Steve's otter. Let's play. So now I have to play more seriously. But yeah, in not too long, we'll have been married 4 years, and God has really restored some of those areas of life that were eaten. And she would love to come back and chat with you guys.
That'd be great.
We'll have
that'd
you both.
Great.
Well, today's verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
And then can I say one thing?
Yes.
Okay. That also applies for every single one of us. The temptation to be racially judgmental. And this is a day when one person, we honor somebody who took a profound stand. Wasn't a perfect person, took a profound and brave stand.
I mean, he's like us.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's right. Martin Luther King. Against oppression, very bravely. So,
yeah, on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we celebrate the legacy that he's left. And he had a faith journey that impacted thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions of people.
Yes, he did. Still
and
does.
So, yeah.
Still impacts.
True.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Steve Carmichael with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.